Ah, yes. We should lift his name on high. Many people sing that song, but they never say the name. Yahuwah. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through Psalm 61 and talking about, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And of course, what I'm talking about traveling around in my automobile, hidden in plain sight from the policy enforcers of the civil authority, which has breached its contract with the Heavenly Father, because they punish not just evildoers, but they punish anyone who won't go along, who won't break God's law. Because the fact is, of course, they want me, put it plainly, to get a driver's license. Well, one, I'm not a driver, but, you know, it wouldn't be against God's law for me to get a driver's license if that's all they wanted. If they wanted me to go down and pass a competency test to make sure that I'm fit and able to travel on the highways without harming someone, that I'm physically able to steer an automobile, because I won't say drive an automobile because I'm not a driver. I steer the automobile. And if they wanted me to do that, fine. I would go down and I would demonstrate to whatever the authority they put out there that I am fit and able, my eyes work well, I can see everything, I'm physically able, I have, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, I can steer an automobile and travel safely without harming other people, being more of a danger than anyone else out there. But that's not good enough for them. They want me now to break God's law in order to get a driver's license. Well, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I say no. That's right. I will not bow down, because if I have to, that's what it was all about. That Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were being commanded to break the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. They were told they had to break God's law, and they said, we will not break God's law. We do not care. And so I can't, because they want me to break God's law in order to get a driver's license now. And how is that, you might say? Well, they want me to sign up for benefits from another god. They want me to sign up and get the Mark of the Beast to become a card-carrying member of the Mark of the Beast monetary system. Yes, and they call it Social Security. Well, my security is not in them. My security is in my Creator. I have sought first His kingdom, as the Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He provides everything I need. Why should I forget His benefits and to turn to men or an image created by men for benefits from them? And I like my Heavenly Father's retirement plan is much better than theirs. And if you're interested in my travel issue, you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, scroll down a little bit there, and you'll see a link that says travel document. And you can check it out there. And you can read about the laws that how I'd have to break God's law to get a driver's license. And most people will not do that. You know why? Because they're afraid. But you know what the Scripture says about cowards? It has a list of people who will be without the kingdom of God, who will be without. And without the kingdom of God, well, it has adulterers, murderers, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And also it says fearful or cowards, the same thing. And someone might ask me, well, Nicholas, aren't you afraid? Well, of course I'm afraid. We are all afraid. But when we allow that fear to rule our actions, that's when we become cowards. We're all afraid. Yes, I get a chill up my spine when one of the policy enforcers is near me on the highway as I'm traveling. Yes, they might stop me and take my vehicle. I've had that experience. So they may even go as far as to beat me up and throw me in jail. Yes. Yeah, I'm afraid. But so what? The Heavenly Father said, be not afraid of sudden fear. That means you're going to feel it, but don't let it rule you. And he says, fear not them that can kill the body. So anything less than killing the body, we're absolutely not supposed to fear. If we're not supposed to fear death itself, how could we allow ourselves to be ruled by fear of anything less than death, like the fear of losing our automobile or being tased or beaten or thrown in prison? Of course, I think that can be avoided by being totally non-combative. A lot of times, sometimes it can't, you know, sometimes you get these people, they just want to beat you. Like I watched a video the other day where five or six cops jumped up and started beating an unconscious man. I think they all got fired because they got caught on video, but if it hadn't got caught on video, well, the guy thought that he sustained his injuries in the accident because he rolled over and was ejected from his vehicle. But after reviewing the video, he found out that, yes, the four or five cops had jumped on him while he was still unconscious and started beating him. Interesting, huh? But yeah, anything could happen. And yes, fear is an emotion, but we're not supposed to be driven or ruled by our emotions, because it's only when we allow that fear to rule us. And yes, it may rule us, you know, instinctively for a few moments, but we have to learn to rule it. And another thing is, you got to ask yourself, why do you allow fear to rule you? You know, why are you too afraid to stop walking with one foot in the world, with one foot in the Mark of the Beast monetary system? And is it the Mark of the Beast monetary system? Well, it absolutely is. Because you know what the Heavenly Father said? The scripture declares it over and over. He said, a just weight and a balance are mine. So we know that a just weight and a balance, or an honest monetary system, belongs to guess who? Our Creator. He said it was His, and that's one of the Lamb-like principles that this nation was founded on. But He said an unjust weight and an unjust balance, a false balance, is an abomination. And so if you have a monetary system that's based on a false weight, and God says it's an abomination, guess what? It is not His. And it is fitting that the Mark of the Beast monetary system should be an abomination by the Word of God. So how could I become a card-carrying member of that? Because I can't partake in it. I can't borrow money and partake in the creation of this false weight measure unless I get the number, the Mark of the Beast. And it's definitely a financial number. No one's going to argue with that. No one can buy or sell or trade unless they have the Mark of the Beast or the number of His name. And there it is. It's all plain. You know, it's like, let's read the prophecy backwards and go back and we can find out. You want to know whose Mark of the Beast it is? Well, you know, whose does it end up being? It ends up being controlled by, well, the beast. The beast of Revelation, the first beast, and the second beast who morphs into the image of the first beast, that they work in unison together. And who's the false prophet? Well, of course, that would denote some religious figure. I kind of wonder who that could be. So I don't wonder at all who it could be. So fear. So why do we fear? Why do we fear not? I mean, you know, perhaps you think, well, you know what? Maybe, Nicholas, there is something to this Mark of the Beast thing you're talking about. You know, that does make sense, that God's monetary system would be a just weight and a balance, and a false balance would not be His, but an abomination. So it would make sense that the Mark of the Beast monetary system would be an abomination and not be God's monetary system. So that makes sense. And we have that today. And to participate in that, let's say you want to buy a $350,000 home and you don't have the money. Well, you can create the money if you get the number and you go down and talk to their money people. That's right. Or credit cards and things, are borrowing money. You may say you want that $35,000 pickup truck and you don't have the money for it. Well, voila. You know, we have the magicians over there. We have the sorcerers of the monetary system. You sign that note, and they will create that money out of nothing for you. You're a participant. And every time that money is created, it dilutes, because it is a debt monetary system. It dilutes all the other money out there and makes it worth less. Well, that's obvious with inflation and prices of things continually going up. That is the false weight, the false measure, the abomination that the scripture talks about. But you say, oh, I got to have the number, or I can't get a driver's license and the police might stop me. But why are you fearful? Why do you allow fear? And here's the crux of the whole matter. Why people allow fear to rule over them? Because they have sin in their life that they don't want to repent of. And they fear the judgment of God. That's why. They fear what will happen to them, because the Heavenly Father has declared that He uses the civil authority to judge evildoers. Now that the civil authority punishes good people too, well, that's something you have to take into consideration. And I have taken that into consideration, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I said, it doesn't matter. I can't break God's law for fear. So whatever it is in your life that makes you fearful, that keeps you from trusting in the Creator, because, you know, my trust is not this. My trust is not that God will get me out of every scrape. My trust is not that God will deliver me from the fire. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, well, our God may deliver us, and He may not. Nevertheless, we will not break His law to satisfy the civil authority. And that's the stand. It's easy to compromise. You know, you can say, oh, well, I have to obey the civil authority, but at the cost of breaking God's law. That's when you know that you are not to break the civil authority. I mean, that you are not to obey them if they require you to break God's law. Continuing here in chapter 61, or Psalm 61, verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, under the shadows of the wings of the Almighty. Verse 5, for thou, O God, has heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Hallelujah. You know, that's the heritage I want. I make my vows. I will not break your law, even under threat of death, even under threat of not being able to pass the civil authorities muster, should they perhaps stop me and persecute me because I have not kept their law by breaking God's law. You have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Hallelujah. What a heritage. That's the heritage I want. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Make that heritage mine and make it stronger every day. The heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou will prolong the king's life. David continues here, in his years as a many generations, he shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And it's a day by day thing. You have to build yourself up. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in your life. You do not want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I have figured it out. You know, the unpardonable sin, the blaspheming the Holy Spirit, is not allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in your life. And that is to convict you of sin. And if you continually blaspheme the Holy Spirit and don't allow Him, if you continually do not allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to convict you of sin so that you can repent and bring forth the works meet for repentance, yes, learn righteousness, have His righteousness imputed to you, then you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and you will not be forgiven forever. So repent today. Concede. Surrender to the Holy Spirit, to that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Let Him have the sin. Let Him have it. Let Him deal with it. Cry out continually. Every time you fall into that sin, whatever one it is that He's trying to work on in your life, as I found in my life and from the beginning when the Holy Spirit had started working in me, first he got the biggest sin. And that's usually a, you know, sin of a sexual sin of some sort, or it may be drugs or whatever for depending on the personality. But usually he goes for whatever the biggest thing is in your life, the biggest sin, the big one. And then after that big one's gone, or after he's dealt with that, because we always have to perhaps never think that we can't fall, because that sin will always try to come back. But then he works on the next biggest one. And he keeps tackling the biggest one, the next biggest one in your life. That's the way the Holy Spirit works, or at least he's worked in my life that way. He just keeps taking the biggest sin down because he's trying to make you pure. And if he's going to work on one or two at a time, he's going to take the biggest ones down. At least he has for me. I mean, there's no hard and fast rule for how the convicting power of the Holy Spirit's going to work in someone's life. But, you know, from my my experience and the experience of some others, that's usually how it works. He goes for the biggie, that one you really don't want to give up. And or sometimes it's just so obvious because it is so big that you have to give it up. And then he goes on to the next one. But if there comes a point when you say, no, not that one, well, then you're traversing into dangerous territory, because you're traversing into territory where blaspheming the Holy Spirit may take you down. Let him work. Let him convict you. Repent of your sins and learn righteousness and to bring forth the work meet for repentance. Let's continue on here. We're in Psalm 62, verse 1. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And it's obvious here that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, that Yahshua is our rock. He is the rock that was cut out without hands, that will strike the image in the feet, and his kingdom will fill the whole earth. He is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. The God of the Old Testament was Yahshua, and Yahshua is the same, the God of the Old Testament. He is my rock and my salvation. As a matter of fact, the name Yahshua means Yahuwah is my salvation. And so he proclaims it here. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. And he keeps using the word Elohim, of course, in context, Elohim, God, referring to our Creator. Our salvation, our rock, our defense. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And you know what? That reminds me of Social Security. Listen to it and apply this to Social Security. Trust not in oppression. Social Security oppresses people because it robs them of their labors. And become not vain in robbery. It is nothing. Oh, well, you know what? I worked and I paid into it. There's a vanity there. I paid into it, so I'm going to justify it. I'm going to justify breaking God's law because I was a participator in it. You know, that's like saying that, I grew up in the south side of Chicago and my family was part of the mob and my parents ran a protection racket. And, you know, we ate our bread and paid our bills by the protection racket. And when I grew up, you know, I inherited the business. And I, you know, what will I do? I've invested my life for years into the protection racket business. It's an insurance scheme, in case you're wondering, which people are forced to pay into, or bad things will happen to them. Isn't that the same thing? And then this guy, you know, who grew up in this family and he inherited the protection racket and enjoyed it and he invested his life into it and his labor for years. Suddenly, guess what happens to him? Somebody preaches the gospel to him. And Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes and convicts him about the robbery. So we're talking about here, robbery. Become not vain in robbery. Trust not in oppression. And so he gets convicted about the robbery and oppression by which he is obtaining his livelihood. But Jesus comes to him and says, it's okay, because you're depending on that. I understand why you can't keep my law. I understand why you have to go on breaking my law. Right? Wrong. It's the same thing. It is the exact same thing. There is no difference. Absolutely no difference whatsoever. A protection racket, an unlawful protection racket, is an unlawful protection racket. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Oh, but I paid in for years. My heart is set on it. I'm 55 years old. And I'm going to retire in 10 years and I've paid in for years. Well, join the club, you know? Join the club of the rest of us who have an upright heart and know it's wrong and are willing to give it up and not become participators in it anymore. As a matter of fact, who have repented and will not, like a dog, return to its vomit. Or then you could begin your little dangerous trip of, not allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that conviction into your life. Well, let him work on anything else. Perhaps I'll even start my own good works over here. I'm not going to do this anymore, and I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'll give up fish on Friday, and I'll say 10 rosary beads or whatever. Or maybe I'll just adopt a different religion. Yes, I'll work my way into heaven. But just, you know, I can't give up. I can't stop. You know, it's like the whore that hears the gospel and has a contract with her pimp. It's all over, but, you know, I signed a contract. Doesn't the scripture say that I should keep my vows and keep my word? So I have to continue selling my body and being a whore because I have a contract with my pimp. And Jesus understands why I can't keep his law. We're going into a break here. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.